Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a May 2nd edition of the MSP Initiative, MSP Talk. It is May. And for those May babies out there, I'm one of them. Happy birthday in advance. Because you know what? After this month, it's beaches and planes and vacations and God knows what else people do during the summertime. I hope that you're already planning because once the summertime's here, you ain't, don't stop for anybody. Just get some housekeeping out of the way. Here we go. MSPinitiative.com. You're going to see this session and every other session we've ever done recorded in both audio and video format. We put it on the podcatchers, YouTube, and this sessions page on MSPinitiative.com. So like, share, subscribe, forward, delete, download, you name it. It's all here. Rock and roll. Thank you for everybody that came out to our Nashville MSP Community Minds. We're planning to do a second MSP Community Minds later on this year in Denver. So we're returning back to the scene of the original MSP community minds actually from last year. So some of the spaces that you see here that were in Nashville might be joining us again in Denver. Stay tuned. But we did MSP panels. So we want to hear from people that were in the trench like you, figuring out what works, what doesn't work. We had a number of topics. Then we also had some workshops, people who are experts in their fields that surround the MSP ecosystem and doing actual two-hour workshops with you, not just death by PowerPoint with the idea of trying to figure something out, but actually how to get there. So check out the agenda from Nashville. I think we did a pretty bang up job. This was a completely educational event. Thank you to all the sponsors that helped help us put this on. So they're all right here on the screen: ThreatLocker, Alternative Payments, BVoIP, Carbon Systems, Cora, Lenovo, SuperOps, the 20 Trend, and Taylor Business Group, and our community partner CompTIA. So there all that is. Stay tuned for Denver dates. We will be posting them hopefully soon. Of course, then we get into our after parties, block parties, nighttime activities, which we're well known for. Two of them coming up next month. One, PAX 8 Beyond Denver in June. So there's a week of June. I believe it will be June 10th that evening. So stay tuned. We'll be on the agenda. We'll be making announcements about that. We're super excited to work with the PAX 8 team on their U.S. event. And then we're going to jump on a plane. We're going to fly over to Dublin like the next day. And I believe like 2 days later, not the 10th, not the 11th, but the 12th, we will be doing a block party in Dublin for the Kaseya DattoCon event that we also did last year. We're doing again this year. So if you're on the European side of the ocean, join us. If you're on the US side of the ocean, join us. If you're flying from one of those two oceans to one of the other events, join us because it has an MSP. Costs you absolutely nothing for you to join in on this. Just register ahead of time so you don't have to stay in a line. We have some community offers. These are just deals from people around the community that may or may not help you. Awesome if you can take advantage. And then our industry calendar that we put together. What a month already. Look at all these events that are happening. It goes to the end of the year. Hopefully this helps you. Just pay attention to what's going on so you know what's happening in the sandbox. So all of that is available at MSP Initiative. .com. That is all the housekeeping. I did it in like under 5 minutes. It's pretty good. Today we bring our special guest on the podcast, Connor. How you doing today, Connor?
I'm having a blast. How are you, George?
You know, we were just talking about, you know, I you know, the Sixers and the Knicks, and Charles Barkley got on you last night. He's like, why are you letting the Knicks fans into the building making noise? I agree, Charles. Like, it's Philadelphia. I thought we had a rep, right? I thought we had to like keep up with like the, hey, you don't even want to walk to the parking lot to get to the stadium noise. Like, why are we letting these people in the building? So as a guy who, you know, took some time out of his day on Sunday to go see that game in Philadelphia, which we lost, and then they won and now they're coming back. Yeah. I mean, sports fandom is at jeopardy here. You should not allow that.
It might just be the Philly curse that everyone knows and loves, where it's, you know, Sam Hinkie process.
I thought the Eagles and the Phillies finally broke all of this, and like they put the little statue on top of the Comcast and like William Penn, and like we broke this. But I don't know, man. The Sixers and the Flyers have been so bad for so long. I almost sometimes forget they're still playing in this town.
That is true. That is true.
Like I was telling my buddy that I went to on the game on Sunday. I probably haven't been to the Wells Fargo Center in years, like 7 years, 10 years, something crazy. But I've been to Phillies games, I've been to Eagles games, as you know. You know, when I'm not working, I tend to be at one of those two. Which one am I ever not working? But I digress. But yeah, next time you get into it with a Knicks fan at the Super G, you let them know where you're from and you give them a little bit of noise and you tell them that New York nonsense, we don't like that down here.
Yeah, we don't like you. You got two teams because they're both bad.
Right? I mean, like, you're that big that you have double of every team and, like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you have the same city that the Jets come from? Like, come on.
I know. Well, I have to remind people all the time that they play in New Jersey. I was like, it's called the New York Jets. They play in New Jersey. Don't forget. Which is funny, right? Because I always remind people about that Super Bowl that was at the Meadowlands, you know, where they're like, oh, it's okay. It'll be fine. And then like half an hour after the end of the game, it was like blizzard. And they've never had a, yeah. And then of course I say that, but then I drove to Minnesota in like negative 15 degree temperature to go watch Eagles Patriots. Yeah. In 2018, but they're like, oh, it's an indoor stadium. I was like, you still have to be outside to get inside. All yeah. The stuff outside. Anyway, how are things going over on your side of the world, my friends?
Things are going great. We're about to enter event season, as we were chatting about a little earlier. I think we got like 5 different events that we're going to be at in just June alone. So I'm not gearing up.
It is a busy time. For anybody that doesn't know, Connor is from a company called Thin. We'll talk about that in a second, but Connor, for people who don't know you, how about just a quick intro, right? How did you, you know, how's technology land been treating you? How's your journey been? And like, how do we get to today?
The journey has been quite eventful. Booms and busts of entrepreneurship or whatever. I don't know. I don't like calling myself an entrepreneur. It feels a little weird. Definitely not a label I like as well. I actually was a real estate investor for quite some time, but then I lost all my money. So had to move back into mom and dad's. For those of you who are just listening, you know, even though I do look very young, I got the hairline of a 40-year-old, as you can see. I'm 28, all right? And was living in my parents' house. Like, you know what? I like software. I like writing code. I like doing math stuff. So I'm going to do that. To cut a very long and adventurous journey short, I ran across one MSP in the midst of that, and everyone knows MSPs. There's no shortage of things to complain about, and there's no shortage of MSPs that will complain about those things. So that MSP I ran into was like, these are all the problems I have with all my tools. Don't build me a better one. Build me a shittier tool that's easier to use, and I'll work with you tomorrow. It's like, bad software is something I can do. And so that's how it started like three years ago. And now, my team no longer lets me write code. I am, as it turns out, the worst developer. And so I have much smarter people who are much more capable. And, frankly, I'd be, you know, making the company move backwards if I tried to keep writing code. So here we are.
Well, my team surely doesn't want me writing any code. That's for sure. So we're on the same page there. The fact that you went into real estate and it like, was that because of all the COVID stuff? Like what exactly happened there?
No. So in college, I was there studying math because I really liked it. And I decided to flip houses to pay for my loans. So I got connected with a local wholesaler. If anyone knows real estate, that's a person who finds properties for investors to buy and then makes like a spread in between. So I got connected with this wholesaler. He taught me everything he knew. And I was flipping houses in college, flipped one a year while I was there, paid for most of my loans. And then when I graduated, I had the opportunity to borrow like $1.5 million. I think that was the exact amount, actually, from a local group of real estate investors that I had ingratiated myself with, and did that and flipped 4 homes at a time. I had 4 different contracting teams that were working for me across the state of Delaware. It's a small state, but you know, 2 hours top to bottom. So I was driving a lot. And, bought a home that I shouldn't have, that everyone that I'd ever trusted counseled me not to buy. And I essentially told them to go screw themselves. They were sitting on the sideline for a reason. They had no idea what they were talking. I'm in the arena as that one investor. I'm doing things. And just tale as old as time. Lost all my money. Lost about $100,000 personally. Paid all my investors back when the home sold. But I had to move back into my parents with nothing but the shirt on my back. And that's when I realized I only did that for the money, and now I don't got the money, so I'm done. That was it.
Hey, it's actually a good lesson, right? I mean, like, yeah. Hey, you took a shot on yourself. That's good. You know, you just, you know, you gambled on a decision that didn't work out for you in the end. I mean, I still would rather have tried and lost than never tried, right? I mean, you learn from those things. I think so.
I learned a ton about myself. That's the biggest learning lesson was like, oh, I'm not as smart as I think I am. I'm not as capable as I believe. And I should definitely take more time to slow down and listen to people who have what is actually valuable things to say. And it sucks. It sucks going from I have the Midas touch. I'm a 21-year-old kid, right? Midas touch. Everything I'm touching turns to money. Got a bunch of money, more money than my friends in the bank account, making more money than my parents. And my head wouldn't have fit through the door if you knocked down the wall. Like that's the kind of Connor that existed at that point in time, as it turns out. And I went through this process of like went from that to, oh, I'm in my mom's basement because I messed, not because anyone else messed up. I had all the opportunity. I messed up. Only me. I'm the loser here. That is a difficult internal process to go through, but I did. And I'm a much better person. I believe I'm a much better person as a result, but it sucked.
Wow. No, I mean, listen, like I said, there's a lot of people that I've never tried, Connor. Let's be honest. There's a lot of people that follow the yellow brick road, right? They go to school, they get a professional gig, and then they're in the system, and that's it. And like the American dream, right? Anybody can start a business. Doesn't mean it's going to be successful, but they could sure as hell start one. So that's interesting. Like, how do you apply some of the things that you learned then to ultimately what you're in now, right? You're in software, you're in the MSP space. I mean, it is a business. Software is a little bit different than real estate, but like business is still business. There are things that apply to every company out there, small, big, in between. So, like, when you decided to also, or maybe tell us a little bit about the story of why you decided to go down the path that you did and like the category that you chose. And then, could you apply some of the lessons you learned onto what you're doing now?
Yeah, 100%. So I told you that I was studying math in college, and I was flipping homes. I point that out because what I want people to know is I went to college because I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the math, not because I needed a career, nor was I going, did I have dreams of having a career? It's because I was already making money, doing real estate. And so I was like, you know what? I'll do this because I enjoy it. You know, I also played lacrosse there. So I was having a blast. Like it was just a great experience. And, but I never planned to do anything with it. And when the money left, that's when I went back to, okay, I actually enjoyed that. I have nothing to lose because I've lost it all. Actually, like literally lost it all. I'm living with mom. And so I was like, I'm going to write code. And in that process, when I met that one MSP, the only thing that I knew of was I'm going to work as hard as at I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can at this for as long as I'm allowed to. Like, how long are mom and dad going to give me a few $100 a month to pay for my car insurance? I don't know. I'm willing to try. So I kind of did that for quite some time. And then kind of the lesson that I learned is how I got my start in the MSP industry, other than talking with that one local MSP, was I met Wes Spencer, and you know Wes. And I put a meme, or my co-founder actually put a meme under one of his photos on LinkedIn, and that started a conversation that turned into, holy shit, this guy has some really wise things to say. This guy knows, he helped build a successful company. It was Perch at the time. Now it's ConnectWise SIM. Now he's on to his next thing, Empath. But I just remember meeting him. I'm like, hey, I will do anything you tell me to make this work. So I don't care. You ask me to jump. I'm asking you how high, and then I'm gonna try to jump a little higher. It's like because of that experience, I went from I know what I'm doing. I'm gonna keep working hard, and I'm the person that has all the ideas too. Hey man, I have no idea how to do any of this. I know I can work really hard. Can you just tell me what to do? And you would be really shocked how many people will just fucking tell you what to do. Like they will actually just say, go do these things and I promise they'll work. And the prime example I give is I had no idea about the culture around the events here, like even MSP initiative, like the events after the event. It's like I had no idea any inkling of the MSP industry and how they all get together and there's a huge community piece. But I called Wes on a Friday night, and we were talking, and he said, hey, Monday is one of the biggest security events in the industry of the year. You should show up. And I had literally, I had a $1,200 credit limit is what I had really. And my co-founder Josh was on that call with me. I was like, you know, I'm not feeling it. I had to book a last minute flight, last minute hotel. I'm not doing it. And Josh was like, Connor will be there. Thank you, Wes. And that was it. And I booked a flight, put it on a credit card, booked a hotel. It was literally a Motel 8 down the road. Like, I couldn't stay at the event. And spent every dollar that somebody would lend me, which was $1,200 on my American Express at the time. And went to that event. And I was like, what do I do? What do I do here? He's like, your job is to talk to as many people that'll ever listen to you and ask them about what you want, the problem you want to solve, which was awareness training, because it's what that one MSP had told me they were struggling with. And I did that. And at the end of that event, I showed Wes a note that I had in my phone of what ended up being like 60 people that I had a conversation with, contact information, what the conversation was about. It was like, essentially, I was hustling. It's all I had to do. It's like, Wes is like, you're just going to hustle. Get here and hustle. Do whatever you need to. Bring people over to me. Leverage me in any way, shape, or form, but you got to hustle. I was like, I had no idea what I'm doing here, but okay. And I did it. And that event ended up leading to like 10 or 12 partners that signed up long term. And also it was our first million in funding that we raised ended up being from people that we had met, investors, advisors, people who had bought and sold companies in the industry at that event. And so it's like, I had all the faith in the world that I have no idea what I'm doing, but I think this guy knows what he's doing. So I'm going to listen to him. And it ended up working out. Wes is a great friend of mine. And I, you know, every minute I get to spend with that guy is a minute I absolutely love. So,
hey, again, a little bit of drive and self-determination, but took a shot, right? I mean, it's a great story, actually. It's like, hey, I had like no money to my name, but I still took a chance. And you know what? It worked out. That's good. So, I mean, listen, there's a lot of security awareness avenues out there, right? I mean, number one, it's a requirement for a lot of things. Let's not, you know, forget that. That's one of the base things. If you talk to the Brad Grosses of the world, right? It's like, hey, this was like the lowest common denominator that you needed to do. And if you didn't, you're leaving yourself open to all sorts of damage that could be prevented by something just literally that simple. But I digress. I'll let the lawyers talk lawyers. You know, because there are, you know, and again, some, and we can, you know, not to throw all the people in the pool on the list here, but like there are some really big companies that do this, and then there's a lot of companies that do like a bolt on, right? They're like, oh, we're in the security space, we're just gonna, you know, glue something to the side. So like, when you went through those 60 people and you started getting all that feedback, what was it that they told you that they didn't find out there that they were asking you to build?
The biggest piece was, you know, honestly, now it's like a red flag for me. If somebody says, I need more automation, it's like, if you can't tell me what that means, you have no idea what you really need. So it's a red flag. But that was essentially what they were saying. It was like, hey, go talk. Like one MSP that was there, the owner, I talked to the owner. They're like, yeah. I care about this little, but you know who really does care about this? The tech that I brought. They complain about it all the time. Go talk to them. And then I talk with a technician. And their answer was, if I create campaign secure, I'll go real specific on some of the functionality. If I create a phishing campaign, why can't I just click a button and have that run in all my clients right now? If I create a training campaign, why can't I do, if I upload a piece of video content that I want to deliver, why can't I just say, add it to these campaigns, go. If I connect your user sync, why do I have to come back into the platform and keep syncing? Just do that shit for me. Have the users pull in. When you do reporting, why do I have to come into the platform to download a report? I don't want to do any of these things. Now, a lot of platforms actually fix a lot of those. But at the time, this was maybe 3 or 4 years ago at this point, it was like, all right, I just jotting down notes. I was like, all right, I got 20 things here. If I could find a way to solve all 20 of these things, it sounds like this guy or this girl does far less work to make this awareness training program run in all of their clients. And that was the primary thing that they focused on. Hmm. I also interviewed the founders of other awareness training companies because I wanted to know who they were. You know, I haven't talked to Stu just yet, but you know, we're working on it. But talked to, I think it ended up being 12 companies that did awareness training, some that focused completely on enterprise, some that focus on only super regulated industries like healthcare providers and whatnot. And some that focus on MSPs, some that focus on small businesses and don't want to work with MSPs. I talked to anyone that founded an awareness training company and I asked them, why should anyone bother to work with you? So I'm about to enter the industry. And I'm a super competitive, you know, whatever. I'm not from Philly. I'm near Philly, but I'm a super competitive guy. It's like, yeah. I'll be the nicest person in the world, but yeah, I want to succeed so badly that, you know, you got trouble feeding your employees because I'm winning it all. It's like, I want to compete that badly. I'm going to be very nice about it. Never disrespectful, nothing like that, but that's how much I want to win. So I was talking to these competitors and I'm like, why should anyone bother to work with you? And every single one of them, their answer was the exact same. Our content that we build in-house is better. I was like, really? By like the fourth or the fifth person that had told me that, founder that had told me, I was like, hey, so I've heard this from this person, this person, this person, and this person. They all, some of them have content that looks kind of like yours. I get it, you know, whatever. I'm not discounting what you're building here. But like, if all of you say this, then none of you are saying this, right? And also, I literally had one person say, we animate like Naruto and not Dragon Ball Z. And I went back to a conversation that happened all the time in college where I would try to explain how excited I was about math to anyone. And the instantaneously, my buddy's calling me. Stop talking. Like, I don't want to talk to you. Goodbye. And I went to the employees of the MSP's clients that we were serving. I was like, hey, what's your thoughts on cybersecurity education, specifically the content that you go through? They're like, I hate it. I don't want to talk about this. This sucks. It's like, no matter who they were using at the time or what their previous provider was, didn't matter. And some of them had multiple providers over decades of their employment. They all had the same complaint, which is I fundamentally don't want to. This is a roadblock to my own progress, which is to just get my boss off my ass. I was like, oh, I can't make my differentiator content. Not only are these other companies already doing it incredibly well, but if my end goal is to actually teach people to value security in such a way that they'll change their behavior in some way, shape, or form, it's like, it's not going to be through hiring more expensive celebrities or more expensive voice actors or animating with a better team. It's going to be through something else. And kind of where we hung our hat was, well, the MSP is going to deploy this anyway, whether they like it or not. Cyber insurance and regulation have made sure of that, as you had mentioned earlier. So it's like, there are a few things we do to change the user experience, but largely our focus is and still was and still is, how do we make this better for the MSP? Because they're just going to click a button and turn this on and their clients know that they have to do it.
Yeah, no, I mean, let's be honest. And by the way, Keith Nelson, how are you doing? Yes, Connor is a Philadelphia fan. Sorry for, you know, you and Mr. Dallas over there. But yes, he's a cool guy. Great mind. Totally agree. George is the big bucks. I disagree, but that's fine. All right, so the concept, to your point, you made a comment, you're like, hey, if you ask about automation and you don't even know what that is, you like, go back and figure out what that means for you, come and talk to me. I mean, but Connor, they've been saying this word forever. I mean, in all fairness, it's been a word that's been marketed to the MSP for as long as I've been in the sandbox.
Yeah.
And it's almost a little bit of like fool's gold, right? Because like, nobody ever seems to be able to achieve it. So like now I know it's a little bit different, right? Fast forward 3 years down the road, there's more technology, more tools, AI, machine learning, all this other stuff, right? But like part of the problem that we keep on running into is more liability and more work gets dumped on the MSP and their resources don't grow with that, right? Actually, I'd say it goes the other way. They shrink in terms of what they can put towards a problem or the day-to-day, and then like, but the workload goes up. So I'm curious, when you talk to all of those people who are like, ah, I hate this topic, why do they struggle communicating what they actually need versus just the punchline, right? Because like, I've probably heard the word automation a million times. Like, at what point do we actually get real feedback that you can action out of them? Or was that part of your like kind of due diligence process when you were trying to figure out what you were building, right? You're like, I'm not sure this person knows what they want. Come back to me and talk to me later.
I'll give you a real specific example that we, one of the things that we do now is if somebody says, specifically with integration, I want to integrate with this. We don't say, all right, how do we do it? We say, what do you want to do with that?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a real specific example we're going through right now. ConnectWise PSA. Or whatever they call it these days. The names change too often for me to keep up. Yeah, we want you to integrate with our PSA. Great. What do you want to do? What kind of information are you looking to get out? What do you want to do with that? Are you piping this out of your PSA somewhere else? Why don't we just integrate with that thing? So it's like you as product owners, I'm talking of like the business owners or the vendors, or if you have a product manager or product owners on your team, it's like you got to get really good at asking the actual questions. So if somebody says automation, they're not asking for automation. They're asking for certain jobs and activities that they know they don't want to keep doing, that they have to keep doing. Your job is to enumerate as many as jobs as possible. And if that person, as it turns out, can't enumerate those to you, you know what they don't value? Automation. They want something else. They want to change the process in the company. They want to fire some people and hire others. They feel understaffed. Whatever the problem is, your platform's not going to solve those. It can absolutely solve automation if you're automating use cases and specific jobs that they know they don't want to keep repeating. That's it. So it just goes down to you got to really ask better questions. And sometimes those are hard questions. And we've had conversations with some MSPs where it's like, yeah, you keep saying you want us to integrate with your PSA and you haven't really demonstrated, like you haven't given us a super valuable, solid use case from your point of view yet. So they'll say a whole bunch of things, but like, oh, raise tickets. Oh, even that is not a description of what you want to do. It's like, you can do that now with an email. Just send that shit to your PSA, right? So it's like, oh, actually, I would like you to raise tickets for my account managers when people aren't doing their training, because we have certain clients in regulated industries that if they don't do their training on a consistent basis, have horrible things happen to them potentially, and they would blame us. It's like, great. So now you've told me, who do I need to identify? What kind of information needs to get pushed out? In which way do I need to integrate with your PSA? And how often should I be looking to repeat this process? The answer is every day. So it's like, great. What else? What else are you worried about? What else do you want? Specifically billing, right? That's the biggest one. It's like, can you update my customer contract so I don't have to do that? It's like, what do you do now? Like, I have to pay someone to update every customer contract with the usage information that you publish every month. It's like, wow, that sucks. That sounds horrible. I'm so sorry. Like, yep, that's very valuable. What's another use case? So like those are the things. You just need to get to the bottom of, what am I actually trying to do here? The answer is not automate. The answer is not integrate. The answer is a specific job needs to stop getting done so many times, because it should just get done by your platform.
I mean, all valid points. And by the way, as somebody who's been around for a minute, I love that you came in like from a completely different industry and you just said, what are you actually looking for? And like, you force people to actually give you an outcome, right? Like, take the marketing terms out, take the punchline stuff out. What are you trying to accomplish on the other side of whatever you're asking me to do? And like, I think as simple as you asked and posed that question, it's something that gets lost for some reason, especially because, and now that you've been to many events, so many options in every category, you almost get lost, right? Because everybody's saying the same things. And then it's almost to a certain degree why MSPs struggle with marketing themselves, right? From one MSP to another MSP to another MSP in the same area, their marketing all says they do the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? They're all offering the same stuff. They're all positioning it the same way. They're all using the same logos, same icons, the same brands, same manufacturers. Like, why pick one versus the other than price?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So like, anyway, it's really interesting from your point of view, right? You came in, you're like, what is that integration actually supposed to do? Right? Yeah. Like, what are you trying to accomplish? Like, it's just amazing that everybody got sucked into the vacuum of, hey, you need all these tools to be successful. And they almost forgot that they can give, hey, actually, I'm looking to do something new that's not available right now. I don't know. I know I'm going off on a tangent. Maybe some of that's because they kept on asking and they never got, right? Like, how many times did they ask? They're like, oh, they're just never going to hear me, right? Keith, not me. I say I'm not an MSP. That's true. I got you, Keith. You are a technology business process guru, or at least a guy that likes to drive in limos to the airport. couldn't help myself but say that. So now that you're 3 years, sounds like you're about 3+ years in, right? You got a bunch of partners. You're in MSP land. It's working, right? You raised some money. You got some, wrote some code. Not anymore, but you started to. You have some customers. Yeah. So what surprised you about this? I call it like a sub industry. I like to call it sandbox, right? MSP land versus the great technology industry. What surprised you that you learned coming in from the outside to this thing?
There's a billion things that have surprised me, but I'll keep it to one good thing, one bad thing.
Okay.
good thing. Just how close of a community it is. It's like, I remember vividly when we had just started. I got, you know, I was sweating at the time. I got invited to an MSP Geek after hours online Zoom thing. I hop in. There's like 50 people there. Like, I don't know anyone. I know one person, two people, actually. It was Kyle Spooner, Jason Slagle. And instantaneously, I'm like a part of the gang. It's like everyone's talking to me. We're all having a blast. We're all, and then like Jason Slagle's like, hey, by the way, like, I'm trying to break into your shit right now. I'll let you know how it goes live. And he's like pen testing our application live. I'm like, oh God. I'm like texting my co-founder. I was like, please tell, like, this is do or die. We're either getting screwed or we're not. Everything, it ended up being fine, but for a very long time I was sweating there. But it was like instant, like I was just invited by these two people who were like, oh, Connor's a decent guy. Let's introduce him to the rest of the gang that's going to show up. And instant, I had like 50 friends. And that exact like thing has just continued to happen at a wider and wider scale as people not only associate with Finn or as they know people who I'm friends with now in the industry. It's like the circle just continues to grow. It's like there is nowhere, if you're a shitty person, there's nowhere to hide. If you're a great person, there's nowhere to hide. So it like it cuts both ways.
Sure.
So that's the good thing. It's like there is a sense of community. Granted, you know, I'm 28 years old. I barely got some hair on my chin. So what do I know about business, culture, community? I don't know. But I do know that I feel very close with a lot of people we serve and with a lot of people that exist in the industry. The bad thing is that there are so, and this goes kind of along with what you were talking about, like you keep saying automation, you can't voice what that means. Like something is, you're confused about something. I don't know what it is. The bad thing is that there are so many people that will tell you, an MSP, what to do about their business, how to run their business, how to grow, how to build their stack, how to sell their services, how to not sell their services. It's like everywhere you look, there's somebody trying to give you advice. And they're basically saying, if you don't take my advice, you're dumb for not taking it. And while in some cases, those people are very right, right? There is good advice and there is bad advice. In a lot of other cases, they're not. And I think if MSPs were a little more introspective, specifically the owners were a little more introspective about their business, what do you want for it? Right. So me for Finn, I want to build a giant company. I want to do the biggest and the coolest thing I can dream of. And nothing's going to stop me from doing that. Right. For an MSP, a lot of it's like, I'd love to have a super comfortable lifestyle, have some money to pass on to my kids. And I want to stop working so damn hard. It's like, that's awesome. If that is really what you want, I want nothing more for you to get that. And then when you voice that into the industry, like you put it out in the ether, there's, I guess it's like any opinion really, especially in Philly, right? It's like half the people are like, oh, you're stupid for thinking that. And the other half, oh, good for you. That's amazing. And you're like, I don't know who to believe. So then when you throw in, like, there's not just two sides of the equation. There's eight different people that'll tell you you're selling the wrong shit. There's four more that are telling you you're selling it wrong. And then there's another eight more that are like, if you just take my money, you'll have a much bigger company and all of your problems will be solved. And it's like, hey, I do not envy that you have so many people that are trying to tell you exactly what to do. You should just be a little more introspective. That's the bad thing I see. And a lot of people are great, by the way. I'm not saying that the people are bad. I'm saying the confusion is bad. And sometimes it's really hard to get out of your own way or to understand what the right perspective is because life is hard.
A lot of voices.
Yeah, business is hard.
A lot of voices. Well, I you know, by the way, I love those two things. I love the candidness, by the way, as a Philly guy. Registering perfectly with me. You know, at the end of the day, like, everybody will tell you what they want you to hear too, right? I mean, there's a little bit of that, especially the people that either are, you know, are putting their hand out with something that's a string attached, or they're trying to get something from you too, right? I mean, so that goes both ways. But anyway, Keith Nelson, Connor, I want the same thing, a comfortable lifestyle.
like George.
That's hysterical. Talk to us about the value proposition around Finn and why they should look at you versus, I don't know, all the other options out there. Go.
So there's two main reasons why a lot of MSPs switch to us. The first is the MSP focus. That bleeds into a thousand different ways we operate, whether it's monthly invoicing, whether it's usage-based billing, whether it's month-to-month agreements. It's like there is a host of ways our business operates to fit what MSPs prefer because it works for their business. Second, let's go to the product. You can onboard a client So a brand new client to start a brand new campaign that will never end and always continue to communicate back results to whoever you designate forever, right? That'll happen forever. You can set all of that up in less than 10 minutes. So when it comes to creating an awareness training program that will consistently train and fish people on relevant things, check all of the regulation and all of the insurance boxes you could like ever get put in front of, setting all of that up forever in perpetuity and never worrying about it again takes less than 10 minutes for that client. And that's the primary draw. The second is there's a host of end user focused things that we do to reduce the amount of training they actually need to get actually valuable information. Specific example we have is a concept called a learning moment, where when we fish you, we don't give you more training. We pull up that fish exactly, and we say, hey, can you hover over the email information? Can you look at this attachment? Can you look at the URL this is actually pointing you to? Here's why all of these things represented actual vulnerability. Here's how you could have recognized it next time. That takes 20 seconds. It's not a video that they sit back and watch or mute on their second monitor. It is something they have to go through in order for it to actually get completed. A lot of end users really like that because it's not like a stick that they get beat over the head with and get called dumb. It's like, hey, you messed up. Let's figure out how we did that and get back on the right track.
As much as we've talked, this topic's been talked about for a long time. People still get fooled. I keep on bringing up the whole, in a slightly different context, right? The whole MGM casino thing back in November. And it was like, somebody just called into the number for the help desk, which they Googled, and they said they were a person's name, and they just took that for face value. Like, and then they reset their password. Like, that isn't a hack. That's a con, right? Like, the category that we're talking about, similarly, you are conning people. You are fooling people to do something that they think is legit that isn't. Like, whether that's, hey, wire some money, buy some gift cards, you're clicking on your Amazon account, but it's not really Amazon, PayPal, Office, whatever. It's so low hanging fruit that I don't care whether you're the CEO or the janitor, somebody's going to get fooled. So it happens every day to the point where, as much as, the West Spencers of the world will talk about cyber insurance and why it's becoming harder and harder and harder, one of the base things that cyber insurance, when they first started offering it, covered was this.
Yeah.
Right? You being frauded to send money to somebody else, right? You giving up your credentials, right? In a phishing scheme, right? Like, and I can't stress enough, and I'm sure you've heard this a billion times, Connor, but I'm going to say it anyway. There are people that are still using the same password over and over and over and over and over again on everything that they have, that all it takes is one issue. And like, their whole world got unlocked. And by the time they realized it, damage is done. So like, while we say that this is like, I get it, set it and forget it, whatever, it's actually, it's still happening.
One of the reasons why I decided to enter the industry is because I looked at Verizon's DBIR going back as long as it would. And I think at the time it was like an extra, like 10 years of reports. And every year, humans making mistakes became and continued to grow as the number one source of attack, expansion once you're within an organization, and then actual theft of information access or money. It was humans doing something that they shouldn't have. Whether that was not implementing MFA properly, or whether that was giving away your MFA code as a result of MFA fatigue attacks, or whatever it was. It was like, wait a second, if I go to the awareness training companies and I look at their publicly reported earnings during the course of this problem getting worse, what are they showing? Record-breaking profits and revenue. It's like, still feels like there's opportunity here. And then I ran across an MSP and I was like, all right, I think I got target market. I think I can work with these people. And then I think I can get to small businesses as a result. So yeah, it was like, you tell me, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of competitors in here, but you tell me, how is it that none of us have solved the problem in a measurable way? It's like, I tell this to my team and investors all the time. Listen, if we look at Verizon's DBIR and this company, where it's able to reduce the number of attacks that were successful by 1% from human behavior, you know what would we would be? The most valuable company on the face of the planet. That is how much cybercrime exists.
The reality is, you're 100% right. It's only getting worse. The problem is that the sophistication of the attacks seems to be getting simpler, not harder, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know why, other than, hey, this is a problem that you're out to solve. You know, here's what it comes down to. Sometimes I think MSPs, tell me if you agree. Sometimes I think MSPs have overcomplicated the actual problem to the point where they've forgotten to ask, kind of like what you started with, what is it that you're trying to solve? Like the most basic question. Like they're like, oh no, we already know that. But you're not asking it because that's where the problem keeps happening, not over here where you're like, you're 18 products deep and, you know, like it always seems to happen over here at the front door for some reason.
I think it's a really, really hard thing to do, not only in life, but in business, to stay focused on the real outcome that you want and drive all of your efforts for that. You know, even at Finn, I see issues with that every day. And that just might be me, you know, being introspective and not being satisfied with any amount of growth we ever get, really. But I see a lot of MSPs, but it's not an MSP focused thing. I think it's just a human thing. It's hard to stay focused on the outcome. Super specific, I guess not super specific, but an analogy that Wes came up with that I leverage all the time is like, your job as an MSP is to go ask your clients, how do you generate money? Tell me about that. Hmm. What do you do? And then secure everything that they say leads to them making money. Everything else, get to it after. If you end up solving all of the things that generate money and all, you fix all the risk around processes and systems and software and hardware that they need to generate money. If you ever finish that, then you can look at all the other shit. Don't do anything before you've done that. And it's like, yeah, wait a second. Why does security exist? Well, cybersecurity is an industry. It's like to prevent cyber crime. It's like, and why? It's like, so the business can continue operating and make money. It's like, all right, it's our job to secure the convenience, which is software and hardware. It's convenience for the average worker so that the business can continue to operate and make money. It's like, don't lose sight of that.
No, I agree 100%. Rewind 3-ish years ago. What would you go back and tell yourself getting into MSP land on the vendor side or just in general that you didn't know then that you know now?
That I didn't know then. I mean, there's a host of things I'd build differently, but I'm trying to think of like what's an advice I'd give. You know, a lot of people have a general anxiety around giving without expectations, right? They feel like they'll get taken advantage of. And that's why a lot of giving without expectations doesn't exist. Or rather, if you have expectations for the giving that you're doing, just state them, right? So the advice I would give to myself is do not be worried about giving to the community no expectation of return. Because in my experience so far, anytime I've gone out on a limb to do something nice or to educate and say, you know, altruism aside, because that doesn't really exist in this world, but be as transparent as I possibly can about what I expect in return and making that, you know, as little as possible. Maybe it's just a conversation or just a friendship. Don't be afraid to do those things. It is always a worthwhile investment. In fact, double down on it. Give more. Just give back way more, because the statement I made earlier is like, it's a super tight-knit community. So if you're shitty, there's nowhere to hide. If you're great, there's also nowhere to hide. So it's like, I've definitely, through acting in a way that I believe is right, not saying I've always acted properly the entire time. You know, I'm a human, as is everyone else, but then listening to the people who I trust as well, it's like, just behave in this way, act this way, be a good person in general. Every time I've doubled down on that and their advice, it's always come back. So again, now it's like a pattern. Now I'm like, all right, selfishly, if I just act a little better, if I do these things, I don't expect anything in return. It's like, I know how that's going to play. Like in the community, it's just like people like helping people that they like. And that was kind of the gist of the advice I'd gotten and the gist that I'd give to myself 3 years ago. People will help people they like. Be someone that they like.
Pretty good advice for anyone, to be honest. Not just
yeah, not just MSPs. Yeah,
no, that's some good advice, Keith. He's like, MSP, an undefined title. Yes, we know. Are all too often focused on being a technical superhero versus aligning with business. All of your security must be focused on being a part of the business culture, workflows, process, business outcomes, not bolt-ons, add-ons.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Jason Slagle does that really well. I'll call him out here. So you're in the business of selling transformation. Even if that's you turn widget A into widget B, own it. Just own the fact that that's the transformation you sell. And if you become the best person at selling that transformation, you will be the best company in a local region that'll end up seeing a lot of success. And so every time I've talked with Jason about it, that's essentially where he goes. It's like, what do you actually want to do with me? Like, it goes back to, what do we actually want out of this? It's like, well, every business is like, I want to grow. I want to have more money to give back to my employees or go buy myself a boat. Screw my employees. I want a bigger boat. It's like, just be honest about it. It's like, what's the transformation I'm selling here? And in that case, you're not selling security. You're selling that person, that owner, gets a bigger boat. You're selling that the employees get a bigger bonus. You're selling that they get to grow operations to another city that they would love to operate in. It's like, you're selling transformation. You're not selling better security.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So, big picture. Did the Sixers make it out of this series?
George, I got to be honest with you. I'm a transparent individual. For the same reason, I think the attendance by Phillies fan for game 3 was lackadaisical.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it is because of a general sentiment that reigns to be true about the Philadelphia 76ers, is that we get to this point every year and then we're done. Mm-hmm. So if I were a betting man and I had to put money on a bet, it's that we're not getting out of the series. What does my heart say? It's like, you know, Joel Embiid's coming back fierce. Tyrese Maxey's going to keep blowing up. Whole nine yards. Hinkie's watching from the rafters and he's looking down on us and smiling. I don't think we're getting out. That's my honest opinion. But yeah.
It sounds like LeBron's Lakers. Thanks, Keith. Appreciate that.
Does that satisfy the age-old debate, Michael versus LeBron? It's like, Michael never made it. Michael made it through many more finals to get to the championship. LeBron didn't and doesn't, continues to not. He's also like 38, right? So it's like he's getting up there.
I heard a rumor that LeBron might become the Philadelphia. I was like, why would we want that? I don't know.
I actually have information on that. Like a while ago, when Bronny was looking for schools.
Yeah.
LeBron toured Salesianum, which is a school here in Wilmington, because he was evaluating coming to the 76ers and wanted to know where his kids would be going to school.
Really?
But that happened. That actually happened. Yeah. And he toured other stuff in like lower southern Pennsylvania too, like other private schools. So it's like, oh shit, like LeBron's actually thinking about this.
Embiid and LeBron on the same roster? Okay. We'll see about that. LeBron is crap to watch. No love of the game. Not a personality like Michael, Kobe, Shaq, Dr. J, Iverson. Oh, Iverson. He will never be a fan favorite. Okay. Well, I'm sure he was a fan favorite in Cleveland when he finally did it, right? But yeah, totally get it. What'd you think of the Eagles draft?
To be honest, I didn't even watch it. I'm not a football guy, but I want to talk about Keith's comment here. Keith, I'm shocked that you left out, when in my mind, the most entertaining basketball player to have ever lived, Dennis Rodman.
Oh no, here we go. Now I'm gonna do something dangerous. Here we go. Keith Nelson, there he is. on the show. Go for it.
You know what, Connor, you're right. When my son was growing up, the one that played college football, he was a huge Rodman fan. We even had the Rodman doll. And I don't know if you even remember that, where he had a wedding dress and a basketball uniform.
Yep.
Yeah. And he used to live pretty close to me in Newport. And hang out. I mean, you could see him all the time.
He was a character. It's also kind of why my favorite golfer is John Daly. It's like, even though, you know, Tiger's the GOAT and everyone loves him, it's like, John Daly was a guy. He was a character. There was one John Daly and it was him. Same thing with Dennis Rodman.
John Daly makes us all think we can become golfers. He's the greatest golfer of all times. He's fat like me, has a beard like me. He just has a lot more talent than me.
He's got some just fire quotes too. Like, He's like, yeah. John, why are you never injured? It's easy. I can't pull fat.
Yeah.
One of my favorite stats is like, it was him and Tiger at a major. And it's like, Tiger was like up and down percentages and all that. And then on John Daly's card, it was like 21 bags of peanut M&Ms, 46 Diet Cokes, 3 packs of Marlboro Lights. And it's just like, that was his stat card. It's just like, how insane is John Daly?
Yeah. You just got to imagine if he was a serious training athlete, how great he'd be.
Yeah. Well, it's like, yeah.
They said this about Iverson, right? The guy just showed up on the court and left it all out on the court every time. But I don't know how much practice dude spent, you know what I mean? Like actually going hard. So how much longer, like today, right? They have this like load management concept where it's like, oh, well, we don't want to work you too hard so we can extend your career. That didn't exist back in the day, right? You just played until you dropped. So it'd be interesting to see, like, if you applied the same things that they're doing now in the 2020s backwards, how much longer would a Jordan play? How much longer would a Iverson have made it? How much longer would a Shaq made it?
I think Iverson liked the contract that Michael Jordan helped him get, which he'll always tell you. He almost took the cash and took the long-term deal. I think he liked the money better than playing. By the way, that's the only athlete out of Philadelphia that I respect. And his best videos are his high school football videos, which you can still find on YouTube. Iverson was a friggin' awesome football player.
I mean, him and Mike Vick were battling each other. It's crazy.
Yeah.
If you can imagine. But I don't know. I mean, I asked myself that question. How would Iverson have played out as a quarterback? It's kind of short, you know, in the NFL, right? Who knows? Yeah, exactly. Well, Keith, I mean, since we got a few minutes left, how about them Cowboys? Are you satisfied with the offseason that Jerry and company did?
A lot of things up in the air. They passed on receivers I think they should have got. You know, Dak needs a security blanket to get to the next level. I mean, all his stats regular season are pretty darn good, right? But he's still, if you take CeeDee Lamb out of the game, he's gone. And you say, what was great about Aikman? He had 3 receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a great running back he could depend on.
It'll be interesting to see if Dak Prescott's long-term for the Cowboys at this point, but we'll see.
I'm worried about, you know, they took a linebacker who's a beast, friggin' animal, but that's not an NFL linebacker. That works in college. But all the NFL linebackers are almost defensive backs as well.
Yeah.
And we took some linemen, which you never know where you're getting there. That's always a hard thing for me to predict.
Sure.
How an offensive lineman matures into an NFL lineman. You know, we picked up some depth there if they're all decent players. I think that offensive linemen is one of the biggest strikeouts NFL teams make all the time. They just don't get the PR because they're not so high in the draft. They're not paid as much. But you look at how many guys that were award winners that never played a down in the NFL.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen a couple of them come through Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Well, for everybody that isn't paying attention to NFL, the NFL season opens up in Brazil, I believe on September 9th, which is a Friday night. You will need Peacock as a subscription to watch that game. Surprise. I don't know. Maybe Keith Nelson, if it was the Cowboys, maybe taking a trip down to Brazil. But
yeah, I wish they had American teams playing in that game, but that's a different story.
South American teams. Connor, where do people find more information about Finn? Maybe they want to check it out. Talk to somebody, demo, trial, all that good stuff.
So I'd say you can find Finn at our website, PHINSEC.io, finsec.io. If you'd like to connect with me or just, you know, be in my universe, LinkedIn is where you can find me, just Connor-Swalm. I'm pretty active there, and I'm willing to spout what I believe to be correct nonsense, but feel free to disagree with me. I always love the conversation.
I love it. Even though he's from Delaware, I still call him a Philly guy. by the way, just in case you're listening to this and you're not seeing the video part of it, Connor's last name spelled S-W-A-L-M. So when you go on LinkedIn, Connor Swalm, there you go. And Finn, P-H-I-N, right? You know, kind of a, I call it like a Philadelphia swing at it, P-H. This session was recorded. We're going to post it on all the channels. You can see it at MSPinitiative.com under sessions. I'm sure we're going to see both Keith Nelson and Connor in person on the road. I'm sure it's just a matter of time. Because we already heard from Connor's going to be on the road all over the place in June. That being said, looking forward to seeing people in person. We love the screen time, but you know what? Nothing's better than a little bit of community, like Connor said, some beers, maybe some good banter. We all love that. Catch you guys on the next one, and safe travels.
Thanks, George.
See ya.